is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Gloria, try Mrs. Wakefield again at the studio club, will you? I know, but she may have come back. No use calling her office. They told me she's taking a leave of absence. Just call the studio club, will you, honey? Who? You mean here in the office? Well, why didn't you say so? I tell you what, try Mrs. Wakefield a little later and ask the lady to come in. Isabel.
Hello, Tony.
Well, is this a stroke of luck?
I'm glad it seems so. Oh, you're looking well, Tony.
Thanks. How are you, Isabel?
Oh, busy. I left all my preparations for a big Thanksgiving dinner to come into town to see you.
I'm flattered. I'm delighted. I'll buy you the best lunch in town.
Oh, that won't be necessary.
How was London?
Oh, the weather was pure November, wet and cold, and inflation is out of sight. Oh, and everybody's wondering if England is going to have a woman prime minister.
Ah, otherwise the trip was satisfactory, huh?
Yes. Until I got home.
Isabel, has Kate gone up to Belhaven?
I wondered when you were going to ask about her, Tom.
Ask about her? I've been trying to reach her for the last 24 hours.
And you couldn't.
I guess you know all this. She's taken a leave of absence from her job, and the studio club says she's left town. Now, Isabel, where is she?
It isn't where she is, Tony. It's how she is.
What do you mean?
Now, I think you know exactly what I mean. Kate went up to that party where you were with your friends. After it was over, she went straight back to the city without even stopping off to see me, although I'd just gotten back from London. She called me, sounding very upset, to say she wouldn't be coming home to Belhaven for Thanksgiving. She was off to Maine with a friend of hers. Trudy, I think the name was.
Oh, Trudy Kiefer. Well, at least we know where she is. Isabel, I tell you, I've been worried sick.
A little late, I'd say. Oh. Tony, I'm not playing cat and mouse. I know. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here. I went to a reception in London at the British Union Club and met your wife.
I have a legal marriage, no other kind.
It's not good enough, Tony. Not for a girl like Kate.
Well, don't you think I know that? Do you think I'd willingly do anything to hurt her?
Well, what happened this weekend to send her flying away like this?
I'm not sure.
Was your wife at the party?
Yes, yes, she was.
And she met her?
Yes, but...
Well, that would be quite enough. Oh, Tony, I can't understand why you weren't honest with Kate.
As soon as it mattered, I was.
That's what you tell yourself.
I tell myself and Kate the truth. Isabel... You met Claire. Now, I tell you, we've had no marriage for years. And then Kate came into my life. It was like starting all over, kind of happiness I'd never known. I was afraid to lose it. Damn it, Isabel, I know what I'm up against. And somehow I'm going to solve it. And when I do, I'm going to make it all up to Kate. If it isn't too late. If she hasn't found somebody else by then.
Well, I didn't expect to hear all that.
What did you expect?
Kate's all I have, Tony. She went through a bad first marriage. I don't want her scarred again.
Mm-hmm. So you came in here to say, Tony, get out.
Oh, no. Kate would have to say that. No, I came to see where you stood.
The day Kate tells me she doesn't want to see me again, I will get out.
She hasn't told you that?
She has, but I don't think she meant it.
Coffee tasted good, Kate. You'd better be starting, Trudy. You have nearly 60 miles to drive.
Oh, I don't like leaving you here in this coffee shop.
Well, you couldn't leave me any place where I'd be happier than Seaport, honestly.
Well, we were going to stay at the motel in the next town. Now, if I take the car...
I'll stay right here in Seaport, where I want to be.
Did you call your friends?
I called Ruth Wheeler from the city and said I'd be coming up this way. I haven't called her from here yet.
You're sure she has room?
Trudy, she urged me to come. When Tom and I used to come up here to Gull Island and the fog came in like this, we'd stay with the Wheelers until we could go over to the island. I'm home here.
You'll go over to the island alone?
Oh, Ben Wheeler or somebody will row me over. But I'd rather be there in the cottage alone.
Oh, Kate, I don't like any of this.
Trudy, just go on and see your ailing grandfather. And don't worry.
Oh, boy, it's a funny kind of Thanksgiving.
You know, I'd almost forgotten the holidays.
Tell me something, Kate. Did you suddenly pick up and take off like this and forget Thanksgiving because of what Stephen Wolfe told you about Tom?
Yes, I have to find out if it's true. This is the only place I can.
But you had to leave just before Thanksgiving. I mean, with your family and all in Belhaven.
What are you asking me, Trudy?
Well, it is not my business. But you left the city so fast. I mean, well, I know how hard Tony was trying to reach you. He even called me.
You didn't tell him where I was going.
Oh, no.
Good.
You don't want to see him again?
Trudy, he's married.
Well, I'd better get started. I'll leave you at the Wheelers.
It's just a block or so along the waterfront.
Hey, Kate. Who's that?
Who?
That kid staring in through the window.
I don't see him.
He's gone. Oh, boy, it was weird. His nose against the pane like a white blob and that fog behind him.
Well, he must have gone.
Do you think I'm going to get through this fog?
Sure, as soon as you get inland.
Hey, there he is again. Hey, I think he's staring at you, Kate.
Oh, I don't recognize him.
Well, how could you with his face pushed flat?
I waved. Oh, he's gone.
I wish you'd come with me. I'll drive you back tomorrow or the next day. You can't get out to the island anyhow.
This fog will lift and... There he is.
Yeah.
That's Joey.
Who's Joey?
A young neighbor of the Wheelers. You go on, Trudy. I'm going out to see him. Tom and I knew him.
Kate, you got my phone number.
Everything. Trudy, I hope your grandfather's better.
Yeah, sure. Goodbye, Kate.
See you, Trudy. Bye. Joey Green, is that really you?
Yes, it's me, Mrs. Wakefield.
You've grown up, Joey.
Reckon so. I looked in the window because I couldn't believe it was you.
Oh, it's me, all right. But I don't wonder you were surprised. I haven't been back here for 3 years.
You ain't staying.
Well, I certainly am. At least for a couple of days. I'm going to be staying with the Wheelers just the way I used to. Hey, you want to carry my bag up as far as the house?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, what are you back for?
Joey, how can you ask that? Why, my husband used to teach you sailing.
Yeah, I know. Sure miss him.
Thank you, Joey. Oh, I sure miss Gull Island. So, here I am. You know, you've grown a lot since I saw you last.
Yeah, 17 now.
In high school?
Yep, over in Seaville. It's not much, too many kids hacking around. I'd rather sail boats.
Joey, now you stay in school.
You know, your husband used to say the same thing. He was okay. I won 3 junior races this summer.
Good for you. How long do you think this fog will last?
Maybe 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah. We'll need a west wind for it'll clear. Guess you'll be going for that.
Oh, no, Joey. I'm staying as long as I have to. I'm going over to our island.
You're going to go to Gull Island?
Why, of course, to stay in our cottage. Well, you remember it.
Well, it'd be pretty cold at this time of year.
It's as warm as milk today, Joey. Say, maybe you'd ferry me over when the fog lifts.
I don't think you ought to go over there, Mrs. Wakefield.
Why not?
I just don't think you ought to.
Joey, why?
Well, nothing. Much. I'll leave your bag here on the porch, Mrs. Wakefield.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Gentlemen, I dare say you fancied we had quit Queen's Crawley forever. Not so. As author of this novel, I've grown quite attached to that cantankerous old reprobate, Sir Pitt. How he broods this, the first night of Becky's absence. He sits by his lonely self in her room. Lonely, that is, except for a bottle of brandy. He has found two or three possessions Becky left behind, and from them takes comfort. He needn't. They were objects she did not want. All the same.
Left a little slipper, she did. Oh, what little feet little Becky has. Will they bring you back, Miss Becky? Ah, confound me, sister. Took me Becky off. May you roast in hell's flames, Matilda. Little slippers all wore out. Why'd I not buy you pretty slippers? Well, shoes, socks, bonnets. Cost a pretty penny, they would. Oh, don't care. Buy you anything you want, Becky. Give me word on't. Said she's fond of me. Said it. Did.
I've grown very fond of you, Sir Pitt. I truly have. At first, I never thought I would, but we understand each other, you and I. And I'm sorry to leave you. I didn't know I'd be that either. But I am.
Fond of me. Fond. Ah, she'll come back. No, won't. Matilda, fond of her. Keep her, she will, old thief. Ah, wait. Mrs. Bute. I'd not let her see Matilda before she left. What did Mrs. Bute say? Well, what was it? Oh, drunk too much. Can't think. Said yes.
Looney? Bungler? Simpleton? And you let me see Matilda. Tell her what I know of Miss Sharp. She'd never have taken that hussy into her carriage, much less her house. You've lost what you most wanted because you lied to me, and it serves you right.
By Jove, can still tell Matilda. Post a letter. Go myself. Not want Becky in her house. By God, I want her in mine.
Sir Pitt sends a message to the rectory. Mrs. Bute is to come to the hall at once on the matter of Miss Rebecca Sharp. Oh, my dear listeners, do you ask why the baronet does not himself go to the rectory? Well, his devoted brother, the Reverend Bute Crawley, will not allow him in the house. So Mrs. Bute and Sir Pitt sit now in the blue drawing room.
Pitt? Butte did not want me to come here.
Let Butte read his Bible and mind his own affairs.
I wish you to know that I'd not displease or disobey him, save on the subject of Miss Clark.
Then let's get on with the subject. What is it you know?
I say what you said to me this morning. Is none of your affair.
You'll not tell me.
Why should I? The treatment accorded me today hardly puts me in your...
Oh, confound it! Don't hold it hard against me, Martha. All apart I was this morning.
And losing Rebecca?
Yes, admit it.
And want the strumpet back and fancy I can help you. Why should I? Whatever have you done for us? For your own brother.
Not to help me, then, but help you. You're afeard she'll please Matilda and gain from her will.
And you're not?
No.
Then you're a greater fool than I thought. And what do you say when I say she's after Rawdon?
She ain't.
Blind as well as a fool.
She don't even like him.
What matters that? Rawdon will inherit most, or all, of Matilda's fortune. Should you and I and Butte receive £10, we should count ourselves lucky. Miss Sharp knows that full well.
Have it your way and I'll have it mine. I want her here. In God's name, tell me what you know. Is that so I can tell Matilda?
There's no need. I've written her a letter. It goes by post tomorrow.
Good, good. No. Dibble with the post. I'll send it by special rider. Yes? Yes?
Here it is. Take it.
Why, Miss Becky could be back tomorrow night. Where else to go if Matilda shows her out? She will. You're certain?
Not the slightest doubt.
Ah, Martha, tell me what it is. Danny, I'll give you £5. 10?
You'd give me £10?
What? Will.
Done. Miss Sharp misrepresented herself to Matilda. Matilda despises liars, and she's a snob as well.
Oh, yes, granted. Get on with it.
The wretched girl claims she's of the French aristocracy. On both sides. Both? She's from the gutter.
What? What?
I've honest to have it on the best authority.
This is what you've to tell Matilda.
From Miss Minerva Pinkerton.
From me, you imbecile, if you'd but asked. Becky's mother on the stage, her father a drunkard.
You know?
I know. Matilda knows, and she laughs. Now, who is the fool, madam? You let me think. You vowed. Oh, Becky, I'll not have you back. Mrs. Butte, Mrs. Bungler, take yourself out of my house, you harpy. Out. Out.
Oh, poor Sir Pitt, hung on a gibbet of his own fashioning. He does believe Matilda knows Becky's parentage, but she does not. And there he stamps up, down, round the room, tearing up the letter that could have, indeed would have, evicted Becky from the house in Park Lane. In that house, at this same moment, Becky and Rawdon. Oh, dear listeners, in another moment you shall hear.
Joey, I haven't had this for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Matilda Crawley sleeps. In the sitting room beyond the sick chamber, Rawdon and Becky. Sitting they may be, but they walk a tightrope all the same. Miss Crawley demands to meet the man Becky claims to love. The fellow is no one and nowhere. A name invented and none else.
My Rawdon, have you found someone to be Gordy?
Yes.
Yes? Oh, my soul, darling, I was so fearful you could not, or would not. He has agreed?
No.
Oh, then you've not found him?
Yes. Chap named Private Hooton.
but haven't asked yet. Hope we can put Auntie off tonight.
No one put your Auntie off. She will meet Gordy, and you will ask him. Mm. Order him, if need be.
Yes, tomorrow. Very dangerous, this, my love.
Oh, I know. For you, for me, for us. Oh. Describe Private Hooton.
Describe?
Oh, dearest, he must be as I've described him to Miss Crawley. Oh, is he handsome? Is he tall?
Right.
Is he someone I might love?
I say no.
Oh, darling, darling, you know what I mean. He can't be a toad, a clown, a laughing stock, someone your aunt could never believe I'd love. If he uses dreadful grammar, he won't do. Drops his H's, won't do. Has no manners, won't do.
Oh.
Does he? Has he?
Talks well enough. Manners correct. Comes from decent sort of family, I believe. Shy? You said in your note he could be shy.
Oh, yes. I told Miss Crawley that so he'd not have to talk very much. Poor fellow. There's chance for some ghastly mistake.
You said you'd rehearse him.
I will. I must. But who knows what she'll ask? Tomorrow, 3 o'clock at your flat. Can you have him there? Ask him. Order him. Bribe him. Whatever you have to do.
Bribe. That'll fetch him. Promise him a fiver. I have to get it off Auntie. Lost at cards last night.
She'll give it you, but how will I get away from here myself? I can leave Giles with her, but what excuse to go? What can I possibly... Emmy!
Emmy?
Amelia Sedley. I'll say I must go and see my dearest friend.
And if Auntie says no?
Oh, you're right. I daren't chance it. Darling, of course. Why didn't I think of it before? She can't refuse me. I'll tell her the truth.
Gad, Becky, what truth is there? None.
There is, there is. I am going to meet my Gordy.
Well, there's a thing. Our Becky telling the truth. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, be with me tomorrow to meet Gordy yourselves. Your obedient servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oceder makes your life easier.
How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
Telephone! Peg! Telephone for you, dear.
All right. I'm Maggie. I'm coming. Who is it?
Miss Perkins.
Oh.
I'm going upstairs to vacuum.
All right, dear. Hello?
Mrs. Baxter?
Yes, Miss Perkins. What can I do for you?
Nothing, thank you. And I just hope that what I'm doing for you is the right thing. Oh, dear, I just don't really know.
What's the trouble, Miss Perkins?
Well, may I ask what you're doing today?
Oh, well, Aunt Maggie and I are cleaning house. We're getting ready for the family. We're coming for Thanksgiving.
Well, are you going to wash your hair? Oh, dear, I realize that sounds terrible. Such an awful question.
Well, it certainly is an unusual one, Miss Perkins. But yes, since you ask, I am. When we finish cleaning, I'll wash my hair. put it up probably before dinner so it gets dry by bedtime.
Oh, good. Oh, dear, that sounds terrible, too.
Miss Perkins, what is the matter?
Well, I feel better because I just know I wouldn't want it to happen to me. That's why I'm telling you.
What to happen to you?
Well, no, it's going to happen to you. And I didn't want you to have your hair in curlers. Mr. Baxter's having a surprise birthday party for you tonight.
Tonight?
Isn't this your birthday?
Well, yes. But I told him I didn't even want to go out for dinner. I'd be too tired and a million things to do for Thanksgiving. What do you mean he's having a surprise birthday party?
Yes, and goodness knows how many he's asked. And he was on the phone all day yesterday and again this morning. He must have asked 50 people, and I just thought you ought to...
50 people?
Yes, and I... Oh, Mrs. Baxter, excuse me. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Miss Perkins. What do you mean, 50 people?
He just calls up and says it's Peg's birthday, so drop in about 7 and surprise her.
7? Why, everybody will think it's for dinner.
Yes, that's what I thought, but I didn't like to interfere. Just the same, I finally said to him, are you planning to serve anything? And He said, oh, yes, birthday cake.
Oh, Miss Perkins, do I have this straight? It's not some horrible dream. My husband has asked roughly 50 people for 7 o'clock, and he's just planning to give them a piece of birthday cake?
Yes.
Did he by any chance order a birthday cake?
Well, yes, after I reminded him, but he just called the bakery and ordered a regular-sized cake, and you know that won't feed any more than 20 people, even with stretching it. Mrs. Baxter, are you there?
Yes. I just wish I were somewhere else.
I asked Mr. Baxter if there wasn't something I could do to help, and he said no, there was nothing else to do. He said he just wanted everything very casual.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I do hope I did the right thing by calling you.
Miss Perkins, you did exactly the right thing. Thank you.
Is there anything I can do to help you?
Well, I don't really know. I'm sort of in a state of shock. If there is, I'll call you back, Miss Perkins.
Please do.
Yes.
But you must remember that your husband's a wonderful man, that he has many wonderful qualities.
Yes, I'll try to remember them.
Well, happy birthday.
Yes, thank you. Goodbye, Miss Perkins. Aunt Maggie?
Yes, I'm upstairs.
Could you come down here a minute? Should say, could you come down here for 6 hours? What are we going to make to eat?
Oh, there's something wrong with the vacuum sweeper. The rotor won't turn round. I think it's all snarled with dog fur.
Never mind the vacuum. Did you know that Bob was planning a surprise birthday party for me tonight?
Oh, really? Oh, how wonderful. Oh, isn't that sweet of you?
You knew, didn't you?
Well, yes, I did.
And you didn't tell me?
Well, how could it be a surprise if I told you? And he kept saying, don't you give it away now. Don't spill the beans. Don't let the cat out of the bag. All that sort of thing.
Do you know how many he has asked?
He didn't say. He just said he asked some of your friends.
40 or 50 people.
40 or 50 people? Oh, I know he never told me that.
He has asked them for 7 o'clock when they will certainly expect something to eat besides birthday cake and coffee.
Well, I told him I'd make the birthday cake.
Well, he's also ordered one, regular size, but even so, 2 birthday cakes. And even a sliver apiece will not feed 40 or 50 people. Miss Perkins said...
Miss Perkins told you.
And I'm glad she did.
Oh.
I'd have had my hair washed and in curlers. There's nothing here for people to eat. I don't even have coffee for that many people. I better tear into town. I get a big ham. Maybe some cold meat. I could also cook 2 of those turkey breasts. And then bake them, cool them outside, and then slice them, arrange things on big plans. No, I better wash my hair.
Oh, you can't go into town with a wet head unless you go in curlers.
Oh, I never go shopping in curlers. I think that's terrible.
Then go shopping first and get 2 big sacks of potatoes. I can make that huge bowl full of potato salad.
Are we going to have time to get this house clean and do a lot of cooking, too?
Not if we just stand around talking about it.
Oh, look at me. I'm on my old clothes for house cleaning. I've got to change, get dressed for
shopping. Talking about it, dear, and get going.
Wait a minute. Just tell me to get going.
Oh, I know. Won't Bob think something's funny when he comes home and finds all his food ready for the guests? He'll think I told you and spoiled the surprise.
We'll have things on platters and set out in the back pantry, and you just tell him that you did it.
But when would I have done all that, and you didn't see me?
Tell him you did it all while I was upstairs washing my hair.
I baked a cake and fixed food for 50 people in half an hour. He'll never believe me.
Believe me, he'll believe you. Men never realize how long it takes to do anything around the house. You'll probably just say, oh, how nice.
My, you sometimes wonder about men, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Oh, my goodness, I forgot to say it. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Maggie.
Now get going.
Bob
Bob is here. He just drove in the garage.
Get upstairs.
But I can't leave you with this mess of cooking and baking dishes, Aunt Maggie.
Never mind. I'll do them. At least everything's all arranged on platters in the back pantry.
I am so tired. I am so tired. I don't think I'll be able to come back down to the party tonight.
Go upstairs, lie down on the bed, get some rest. Well, I'll tell Bob you're worn out from house cleaning and that you're sleeping.
Oh, come on. Give me a hand, Fred.
There he is. He's got somebody with him. Get upstairs. He'll be asleep if he tiptoes up there.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm going. I'm going. Roses are blooming in Peabody. Come the dawn.
Aunt Maggie. Hey.
Oh, you're home early. It's only 5:30.
Where's Peg?
Upstairs, sleeping. She's been house cleaning all day.
Come on in, Fred.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Fred.
Oh, greetings. I thought I'd see if I could do anything to help Bob. Oh.
Well, there really isn't too much to do, Fred. I got everything pretty well organized. Did you make a birthday cake, Aunt Maggie?
Oh, yes.
Well, I bought one, too, so we ought to have plenty. You sure you didn't give the surprise away now, Aunt Maggie?
No, I did not give the surprise away.
Oh, where can I hide this birthday cake?
Just set it up there in that cupboard and close the doors.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, what can I do to help?
Well, I told you, I've got everything under control. You can help me put these happy birthday signs all around if you want to. And I thought string up some crepe paper streamers and all that.
Yeah, makes it look festive.
Well, I guess crepe paper streamers are pretty childish, but I wanted to decorate up the place just for fun, you know?
Sure, why not? Where are the signs?
Oh, they're right here in this sack.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Aunt Maggie, I had the art designer fix up all these happy birthday signs. Pretty cute, huh?
Oh, yes, very nice. By the way, I fixed some baked ham, put it on platters with some turkey and cold meats, also made some potato salad.
Oh, that's nice, Aunt Maggie. Mm-hmm. Come on, Fred.
Yeah. I must say, I have to hand it to you, Bax, old boy. Planning a big surprise party like this.
Oh, I haven't done much. Nothing to it, really.
That's what I mean. Can you imagine a woman planning a party for this many people? She'd be hysterical. Slaving all day, fussing, worrying. Here you got everything planned in addition to working all day at the office.
Well, I think men organize things better. We're more used to organizing, working in an office and all that. Now, how shall we decorate this?
Well, first thing is to get some thumbtacks.
Thumbtacks.
Yeah.
Oh, thumbtacks, yeah. Well, go ask Aunt Maggie if she can find some, will you?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to sneak upstairs and make sure Peg's asleep. I don't want to spoil the surprise. Quiet, everybody. Now, stay in the living room. Aunt Maggie says Peg is about to come downstairs now. Don't yell surprise until I turn on the living room light.
Bob, is that you?
Yes, it is, honey. Come on down. Have a nice nap.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, you know, I never sleep like that. I just never can take naps. I don't know what came over me. I've just been dead to the world. Where's Aunt Maggie? Where's Debbie? Have you all had dinner?
Do you think we'd eat without you on your birthday?
Oh, my heaven. All these people, look at the decorations.
The presents. Come on, make room for the birthday girl.
Oh, I'm so sure I let the cat out of the bag. Oh, I had no idea. Why, you dickens.
I wanted to think of something really special for your birthday. A really big surprise.
Oh, you did, honey. You really did.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Kurt, darling, do you really have to go into town tonight?
If we're going to get an apartment, I have to get this distributorship set up.
Well, we can afford one now, can't we? Kurt?
I'd rather have something settled before we make the move.
Well, I'd better talk to Jason about that hospital newsletter, then.
Why don't you?
Well, I haven't been pushing it because I thought I'd be busy getting our own apartment settled.
I think you might be happier if you were busy, Lynn.
Darling, I am happy. Aren't you?
Of course I am, but, well, there really isn't much for you to do around here.
It's still our honeymoon, Kurt.
You don't have to do a thing here in the guest cottage. Everything is done for us. We have our meals with Robert and Caroline. It's like living at a resort.
Well, you aren't complaining, are you?
No, Lynn. I'm just saying it's an ideal time for you to get the hospital newsletter started and, well, and for me to go ahead with my plans.
I suppose so. But I remember how hard it was to get away before.
What do you mean?
When I was married to Bill.
What happened?
Daddy thought it was just dandy having us here. He and Bill could talk over their law cases, and, well, for me, it was almost like I wasn't married at all. I was still living at home.
It'll just be a little while, Lynn. After all, I've been in Europe for the past 5 years. I have to reestablish myself.
Hey, I wonder what Anne did with her apartment.
Why?
Well, she had this darling little place just big enough for two very friendly people, and it might be ideal for us.
It also might be too expensive.
Well, we won't know until we ask.
No, of course not.
In fact, it would be just right until we really need a larger place.
Now, that's going to be quite a while, then.
All right, darling, but we don't want to wait too long.
Well, why not?
Kurt, I thought you liked children.
Well, I do, but I can't see us rushing into having a family right away. We're just married. We're finding out how we get along. You know, darling, we were practically strangers when we married.
Oh, I really enjoy your club, Robert.
You know, Emily, I'm glad they now admit ladies, so I'm not limited to just having lunch with you on Wednesday.
It was awfully thoughtful of you to ask me today.
Oh, it was?
You know about the consultation.
Yes, I heard something.
And you thought it would be a fine diversion.
Is Jason in on the consultation?
No, it's just Marsh and Dr. Szabo. Jason had to go to a board meeting. So much was put off while he was in Brixton, he just couldn't get out of it.
I see.
Did you know that Helen Anthony is in town?
From Brixton?
Mm-hmm, the same.
Oh, what's she here for?
She brought up the last group of patients that had to come to Jefferson Hospital for further treatment.
Have you met her?
Oh, yes. She's staying with us.
That was your idea?
Well, yes, of course.
Emily, you are remarkable.
Why? Just because she and Jason knew each other in Korea?
Well, they more than knew each other, didn't they?
Oh, I see. Jason told you.
Yes, I can't get used to this new openness or whatever you call it.
What, you think Jason shouldn't have told me then?
I don't know. I think he's asking a lot of you.
Oh, Robert, it was 20 years ago.
That doesn't mean you have to have her in your house as a guest.
Well, Jason stayed with the Anthonys when he was in Brixton.
Well, it was different then, Emily. The town was in a shambles and he had no other place to stay.
Robert, she really is very nice. You know that the three of them lived through a lot in the war.
I don't see what that has to do with it.
Well, they were all good friends before I ever met Jason.
Well, I still don't see why that obligates you to be friends with your husband's ex-girlfriend.
It doesn't, Robert. But it was a part of Jason's life that was important to him. And I can't pretend it didn't exist.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Would you like a drink?
Yes, dear. Oh, could you put another log on the fire?
Are you cold?
No, but Daddy loves a crackling fire.
All right. There. Now the drinks.
Kurt, you couldn't put off your business meeting until after dinner?
Well, not very well, since the Swiss representative has invited me to dinner.
Well, it's very unkind of him.
Oh, it's not a him.
Oh? A woman?
Well, that's the only sex that's left. I thought I told you. It's Madame Scott. Lisa Scott, I think.
Oh, I'm not so sure I should let you go, then.
Don't be silly. She's an older woman, and it's business.
Well, why don't you ask her out here sometime?
Maybe I will.
I'd like to meet her. And you can impress her with River Run.
Yeah, that's a good idea, Lynn.
Well, where's Caroline?
Oh, she's over at Anne's studio, Daddy. I think Anne's designing some needlepoint pieces for her.
Ah, well, then. Caroline tells me you're looking for an apartment.
Oh, she did?
Well, I asked her if she knew what Anne had done with her apartment in town.
I thought we had it settled.
What do you mean?
I want to get established in business before we move.
I think that's an excellent idea.
But if Anne's apartment is available,
and
I would...
as I remember it, it's very small.
I'd like her to at least see it, Daddy.
Well, of course, but...
Well, it's almost 3:30. I'd better get going.
Oh, you won't be here for dinner?
I have a business appointment.
Yes, with a mysterious Swiss lady.
Uh-huh.
She's the representative for several Swiss manufacturers. I hope it doesn't run late, but don't wait up, dear.
Goodbye, darling. And next time, ask her out here.
Oh, I will. I promise.
Daddy, I am not going to let you get away with it this time.
Hmm? Yeah? What are you talking about?
You want Kurt and me to stay here at River Run. Now, I know you. And for once, you are not going to get your own way.
You're late, darling. I've been so worried.
I got away as soon as I could.
Oh, it's so hard to see you now.
I know, Lisa.
I get so lonesome, Kurt. You're the only one I know in Chicago.
I've fixed that up. Lynn wants to meet you.
What?
As the Swiss representative. You're a business connection, you see?
Now, I don't know whether I like that.
It's the only way we can see each other openly. And this whole thing is going to take a long time. Longer than we expected.
Now, what are you talking about?
I haven't told you everything, Lisa.
Just what haven't you told me?
I got married to the wrong girl.
What do you mean, the wrong girl? You married Lynn Carter. Her father is Robert Carter.
That part's right. But they're not the ones with the money.
What do you mean, the ones with the money? With that estate.
It's Caroline Carter, Robert's second wife, and her daughter, Anne. I should have married Anne.
Oh, my God. All that planning, all that worry keeping Renoir from contacting Robert Carter. Oh, God. When did you find out?
About a week before the wedding.
Before the wedding? And you went ahead with it? Knowing it was the wrong girl? Oh, you fool.
Well, what could I do, Lisa? It was too late to back out. Renee was breathing down our necks. If I hadn't married Lynn, I would have been back to Zurich.
Would that have been so terrible?
I couldn't do that to you. After all you had done for me, all the money it cost you to bring it off.
But what can you do now? What about Lynn?
I don't know yet.
You can't divorce her and marry her sister.
It's really Renee's fault. If I'd had time, I could have put off the marriage somehow, and then I'm sure I could have gotten to Anne.
You only think that.
I've always been able to do it before.
Why didn't you tell me you were going ahead with this, knowing Lynn didn't have the money?
I was afraid you'd stop it.
You're right. I would have. I would have found some way to stop you.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.